Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. We'll read verses 26 down through verse number 31. I'll read on verse 26. If you'll join me then on verse 27, and we'll read responsively down through the 31st verse of Luke chapter number 1. And if you'll go ahead and stand with me, I'll begin reading there on verse number 26, and if you'll join me on 27. And it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come again. Lord, we ask that you please bless in the service. Pray, Lord, that our attention would be on what you have for us from your word. I pray, Lord, that we would please listen closely to what you have for us. Meet with us in a great and mighty way. Bless the special music and then the preaching to follow. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
In this world of sin, on this silent holy night, there's a fragrance much like hope that it sends upon the wind, reaching out to every soul. From a lowly manger's crib, O Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure, and sweet, born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me. There's a rose in Bethlehem, colored red like mercy's blood. 'Tis the flower of our faith, 'tis the blossom of God's love. Though its bloom is fresh with you, surely what will be he knows, for a tear of morning dew is rolling down the rose. O Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure, and sweet, born to glory. The Father, born to wear the thorns for me. O Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure, and sweet, born to glorify the Father.
I don't have a Christmas message tonight, but I have a message from the Christmas story that I hope will be a help to several people, maybe a handful, but I hope several. And I want to speak on this subject tonight, when life's plans change. When life's plans change. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this occasion, for the celebrating the birth of your Son into this world. It's a joyous time. It brings families together, creates unbelievable memories, opportunities for fellowship. But Lord, I pray that it gives us the opportunity to turn our hearts afresh and anew toward the Rose of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, who came to die on that tree for us, whose blood was shed for us. And I pray, Lord, that tonight, using this Christmas story, a few details from it, I pray that folks in the room could be helped. Life doesn't always go according to our plan. And I pray that you'll help us learn tonight how to act when it doesn't. Be with me, I pray, as I preach your word in Jesus' name and amen. Did your plans ever unexpectedly get changed? That's kind of a silly question, isn't it? Happens to everybody. Now, I'm not talking about maybe some of the more insignificant things like an appointment being rescheduled somewhere or a trip or a vacation being delayed. I preached the final chapel service of the semester at Providence on Thursday, and I always get tasked with that blessed privilege of preaching the last thing before the kids leave for home. Their cars are running in the parking lot. They have the windshield wipers on, the heat going, and all they're doing is waiting for me to say amen. That's all. They don't hear a thing you say. But I somehow get tasked with that privilege every year. But the storm was already in Iowa, and it was coming the direction. Thank God we missed it. Some of you are mourning because we didn't get the snow. I'm very quite pleased that we didn't get it. But boy, I'm telling you, it threw havoc into their plans. Some of them going out west to Iowa, especially. I told them, I said, you know, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, and I drove my family into dangerous situations when I was young that I wished I'd never done. So use your head. Better to get there. Say, Jesse Smith was supposed to fly out 7 o'clock Thursday night to go to Houston. She didn't leave till Saturday. I felt that. When you're so anxious to get home, you know what that's like when you're a young person, you're anxious to get home, to be delayed like that. That it just is an awful feeling. But anyway, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not talking about, you know, ladies, you're on a time deadline for supper and something doesn't turn out right and you've got to make changes because your plans for the meal changed. I'm referring to more significant life changes that nobody really plans on. Losing a spouse in death or a job that you've trained and prepared for or worked in for a while suddenly comes to an end. Or the doctor says you have diabetes or another illness and you're going to carry it the rest of your life. Or your parents split up. You're a young adult and your parents split up. Or an engagement is broken off suddenly. Or you marry and children are delayed in coming. Nobody plans on those kind of things. Nobody stands at 13 and 15 and even 18 and says, you know, I'm going to plan for these kind of things to happen. And we could go on. That list is not exhaustive. You could add some more to that list. But I think you get the gist of what I'm talking about tonight. Unexpected. When life's plans change. Now, I believe we can say with certainty that Joseph's and Mary's plans got changed significantly. Not just the fact that their wedding plans were pushed back for 9 months. No, I'm not about that. This was a whole life change at a fairly young age for Mary and Joseph. A whole life change. Mary is in the ordinary routine of her life as a young, engaged Jewish woman. The love of her heart, Joseph, is a carpenter with a great reputation and excellent, godly, and good character. And they've got great plans. They've got normal plans for Jewish young men and young women. They're growing up. They've fallen in love. It's the will of God. They're going to be married. And in the verses that we read tonight, in just a few moments, when the angel Gabriel visits and stops and has a conversation with Mary, and then later on, Joseph has a dream, and the angel visits with Joseph in the dream, in just a few minutes, their plans are turned upside down. When life's plans change. Now, there might be some in this room in the same boat. Not the exact same, not apples to apples with Joseph and Mary, obviously. But change nonetheless. I want us to look at both of these people and learn two lessons from Mary and two lessons from Joseph. We'll be done. We'll go to the house and have a sandwich or something, all right? Number one, let's talk about Mary. Let's talk about Mary. I want to say this, first of all, about when life's plans changed. It's okay to not understand. It's okay to not understand. Look at verse number 34. In this passage we just read in chapter 1, Luke's gospel. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary had no understanding of this plan for her life. She couldn't make any sense of how this could happen or why this would happen. And that's usually how it is when unexpected change comes along. How and why are questions that are not easily answered. Have you not asked yourself in the past 8 days about the shooting in Connecticut? How? And why? Okay? And by the way, I still mourn for those little children and those adults, and I grieve in sorrow for their family. But I will tell you something. To politicize this and make it to take away our Second Amendment rights is wrong. And we're about to be in for the fight of our life on that issue right there. It's already started. It's already started. But when you just look at the bare happening, 26 people right before Christmas murdered. You stop and you say, how? And you stop and you say, why? How does this happen? Why did this happen? You've got the kind of generic answers. Well, you know, evil resides in the heart of man, and this boy had some problems, but you know, throwing out answers like that doesn't really satisfy the haunting questions for those people who buried little kids this week. How and why? Now, when this angel came to Mary with this unbelievable announcement that absolutely blew her plans out of the water, she responded with, I don't understand. And she wasn't reprimanded. She wasn't chewed out. She wasn't belittled for lack of respect towards God's plan, if you will. When the angel continued his conversation with her, it was more of an explanation of how it would happen, maybe a little bit of how it would happen than the why, so forth. But when plans change, it's not wrong to ask how or why. It's okay to not understand. Can I say this tonight, folks? There should be, every now and then, a degree of difficulty for humanity to understand divinity. Shouldn't there? If there is never any difficulty for you and me as a finite person to figure out an infinite God, then we've got a mighty small God. If we never have any heart, if we never have a difficulty understanding and comprehending God, I don't mean to do anybody insult in this room. I'm sure we have some bright people in here tonight. But I want to tell you something. If we could always understand, He'd be a mighty small God. There has to be, every now and again, a degree of difficulty for a human to understand the plan of the divine. And that's okay, because God is infinite and God is immortal. We should never forget that. And it's okay. When life's plans change, it's not wrong to ask why, to ask how. It's okay to not understand. So has something happened that you didn't plan on? A significant life change that's happened to you, and you really haven't been able to comprehend it. You haven't been able to really understand the whole how and why of it. And that's, sometimes you feel a little bit guilty, thinking to yourself, you know, I really shouldn't have a hard time here. Understand? It's okay not to understand. I don't think she did. Number two from Mary, there must be trust. There has to be trust. Look at verse number 38. Look what she said in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." So Mary, without understanding, and that's okay, simply trusted what God had said through the angel. Angels, we said this morning, angel means messenger. So the angel was conveying the message of God to Mary, and Mary simply trusted God. Now people, look, when plans change, when life's plans change, through the difficulty of all the emotions that accompany life changes. There's nothing I mentioned in that list that I mentioned a moment ago. There's not a one of those that is not accompanied by some emotion. Usually when life's plans change, there's some emotional response to it. And that's not wrong. That's okay. But through the difficulty of all the emotions, we have to trust God. We must trust God. Can you imagine Mary's initial emotions to this announcement when the angel came? I mean, all of her wedding plans are blown up. All of her dreams of a great time and a celebration with family and her friends, they're all gone. Can you think of all the questions that she would face, all of the comments that she would never hear made behind her back? Think of all her, let Mary be a human. Think of her emotional response to all those things. But one thing we know is possible, friend, through emotional upheaval, it is still possible to mentally determine to trust God. You see, emotions are okay as long as you don't let them lead. Trust has to lead. Trust has to take the leadership. And trust is a decision. Trust is a choice of the heart and mind. Even though your emotions are raging, and no doubt Mary's emotions were just scrambled like crazy, there was a boundary to those emotions. They were surrounded, if you will, by this committed trust in God. I will not let my emotions jump outside the boundaries. I believe this is, let me give you a couple of illustrations. I believe it's so clear what the Apostle Paul said about the death of a loved one. He said, "Ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." He did not say you don't have any emotion. That's not real. That's not normal. You'll have emotion, but it will not be this unbridled, unboundaried emotion like unsaved people sometimes experience. When they lose a loved one, there is chaos and there is anger and there is bitterness and there is lack of control because the emotions run unbridled all through them. But when a saved person loses a loved one who's saved, their emotions, the emotions are still there, but they are harnessed, they are boundaried, they are bridled by the reality of trust in God. I trust God. There has to be trust in God. It is okay not to understand, but there has to be trust in God. And that's true in all areas. You take the loss of a job, the loss of a vocation. You know, people lose their job and emotions are attached to that. And those emotions go unbridled and there's anger and there's bitterness. And then they lash out and they get drunk and they go wild. And in some cases, they grab a gun and go in and shoot the person that fired them. Christians don't respond like that. Now, they don't jump around and say, "Oh boy, I got a pink slip today. I'm unemployed. I lost my situation." They don't do that. There's emotions there. I can't imagine. You know, I never have been in a situation where I got a pink slip, got laid off, or got fired. But just thinking about that, it has to be devastating. So just have the rug of your vocation, your life's work, just pulled out from underneath you in a moment. The emotional upheaval has to be incredible. And it's okay to say, "Man, I don't understand this." It's okay to ask why. It's okay to ask, "How can this be?" As long as that is boundaried by this deep, abiding trust in Almighty God. And within this box, I'll, I'll weep. And within this box, I'll feel a little bit anxious. And within this box, I'm going to have some remorse. But I'm not going to allow my emotions to go outside this box. They are bridled by the fact that my God is an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. And I will trust Him right now, even though my life has been thrown into chaos. It's okay to not understand. As long as we trust, okay, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you. But folks, do you ever ask your kids for their trust in certain matters that you know they don't understand? Absolutely. Absolutely. When that girl that's out there, Lord willing, we'll get to see them tomorrow night. They're coming over just for a Christmas Eve meal. So looking forward to it. I'm talking about Abby. When she toward the very end of that junior first semester of her junior year, when she got interested in that young man, that just I knew this is not good. She came home with that little stuffed animal, and she was a junior. And by that time, you know, life's plans are you kind of have it narrowed down to who you're going to marry, or you at least have an interest, and it just hadn't gone that way for her. For whatever reason. And she brought that little stuffed animal home and she was all excited and all, man, a flitter about it. And I knew one of the hardest things I ever had to do as a dad was sit that young lady down and tell her, this is not happening. This is not happening. And boy, the tears. Abby never misses an opportunity to cry. Anytime she can cry, she has a good opportunity. She went for an ultrasound the other day, and the baby did not cooperate. She was so excited about finding out what this was. She put it on a blog that she does, a boy or a girl or boy, and then the baby wouldn't cooperate. And the insurance only pays for one ultrasound, so there's no, they don't know what they're going to have now. I called her. I said, of all of our children, to have an uncooperative child, you are perfect for this. You're perfect. This is right down the line. This is perfect. By the way, dads, when they're juniors in college, and under your authority, you still have the right and the responsibility to call the shots in your kids' lives. I wish we had men again. We got guys that are so afraid of their kids, it's unbelievable. Absolutely afraid of them. I said to her, I said, now either you tell him or I tell him, but this is off. You think she understood? Oh, Dad, I see. No, she didn't see. Not a bit. But I never forget what she said. She said, I'll tell him. And she did. And she said, that's it. It's over. I told her, you're going to have to trust me on this. And there were tears and there was sorrow and there were some days following that where her heart was quite a bit saddened. I won't say completely broken in two because I don't think it got that far. But it was obviously saddened. There were some days like that. But through it all, she allowed those emotions, if you will, to be boundaried, to be harnessed by a deep abiding trust in her dad, which inevitably was a trust in her God. You understand that? You understand that, kids? And when you tell your dad, when you act to your dad like you don't know what you're talking about, what you're saying is, God, you don't know what you're talking about. And boy, did God bless her. Unbelievably. That was the year at the skating rink in Kankakee when she's there skating by herself, and the next thing you know, this young man pulls up and is skating with her around the rink. 2.5 years later, they got married right up here on this platform. We don't mind asking our children for that once in a while. Trust me, honey. Trust me, son. You may not understand this, and it's okay. Just trust me. Well, folks, if it's okay for us to ask that from our children, it's okay for God to ask that from us. So we learn from Mary that it is okay not to understand. But we must trust God. So don't get down on yourself because you've had a life change and you can't quite figure it all out. as a human, you can't wrap your mind around the infinite divine God. Don't get down on yourself for that. That's okay as long as you boundary those questions and boundary those concerns by a deep abiding trust that my God will not hurt me. He will not. Okay? So it's okay not to understand, but we must trust God. Now, what do we learn from Joseph? All right, let's skip over to Matthew chapter 1. Slide back there a few pages. We'll finish up in Matthew chapter 1 tonight. Matthew chapter 1. And we're talking about Joseph here. Verse number 18, Matthew 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as, and I'm going to put these two together at the end of the message, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, but while he thought on these things, and you know the scriptures, okay, first of all, here's what we learn from Joseph. Number one, it's okay to make alternate plans. Isn't that what Joseph did? In verse 18 and 19, as soon as he found out that Mary was going to have a baby, realized the baby wasn't his, he began to make some plans. He immediately sat down and he began to make alternate plans. Now, folks, sometimes we leave him out of the story, but his life just got changed too. Don't leave him out. He's as much a part of this as Mary is. Her life has changed, so is his. Because he's courted this young woman and done it all properly according to Jewish custom and all the good commandments of the Word of God. And no doubt looking with anticipation to his wedding day as well as hers. And now all of a sudden, boom, his life has changed. His plans are up in the air. So you know what Joseph does? Immediately he sits down and he says, okay, I can't do this. I can't do this. So what can I do? I can get this. I can do this. I can go here. I can work this out. And Joseph was on his way to doing the best he could to cope with and correct the change in his plans. And you know what? We are like that often. Our plans change, so we start making other plans. That's okay. It's better than sitting on a couch doing nothing. But there's a danger as well. Because whatever plans we make have to be His. They have to be God's. And if we're not careful, when the rug is jerked out from underneath us and we're in chaos all of a sudden because our life's plans have changed, we start figuring it out. And that's okay. As long as the whole time we're taking care to be certain that these are not just our plans. These are God's plans. You see, now, this is why plans get changed sometimes. God has something different. And usually what God has in mind is bigger and better. Maybe not in the sense of notoriety, but bigger in the sense of how it's going to work out down the road. Joseph, as a young man in the book of Genesis, son of Jacob, is jerked up out of his life. His plans are interrupted completely. His plans are changed drastically. I'm sure he understood it all. I understand it. And no doubt Joseph, being the kind of young man, driven as he was probably trying to make alternate plans. But you know what? There finally came the day in Joseph's life where he was able to look back and say, guess what, man? Your plans for me and my plans for myself were about this big. But God meant something humongous for my life, to save much people alive. And that's usually why God changes sometimes our plans. There is something, maybe not bigger in the sense of notoriety, but there's something better. There is a big puzzle that God is putting all the pieces in. And by the way, friend, listen, sometimes the change in plan is harder. You know, Joseph, he finds out that Mary's going to have this baby. So he plans a very quiet, under-the-radar way out of this thing. I think I'll just take Mary and just put her away And, you know, we'll just move on. We won't do anything. But what God had planned was tremendously more difficult than that. And I had this thought this week. Everybody would immediately assume that Joseph and Mary had sinned. Everybody would assume that they'd committed fornication, when in reality, he would be asked to refrain from what was normal and anticipated after he got married. Because he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. Now, think about that. Everybody thinks you've sinned, when in reality, you are doing something that's unbelievably difficult. So this is not easier. This is not easier at all. This is difficult, far, far more difficult. So here was a crossroads for Joseph. You know, he had this life change. And he sits down and he begins to think, okay, now this is what I can do and this is what I can do. And God comes and says, okay, that's not what I had in mind. This is what I've got in mind. By the way, there's no rebuke. There's no, Joseph, you were wrong to try to plant. There's no rebuke. There's no reprimand. But God steps in and says, hang on. Hang on. Here's my plan. So now Joseph's at a crossroads. It was not wrong for him to make alternate plans, but the second thing we learn from Joseph is there must be obedience to God's plan. And that's exactly what he did. The Bible says in verse number 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He said, okay, Lord, I will take her as my wife. Now let the questions begin. In full obedience to God, Joseph embarked on God's remarkable plan. And I want to say tonight, and I kind of got young people in my target tonight, but I believe probably this applies to some adults as well. When your life's plans change, friend, it's okay if you don't understand. And it's okay to start making alternate plans, but there's got to be trust. And there's got to be obedience. Got to be. When plans change, I've seen a lot of people sit down on God. In fact, some people I don't know, but I've met. Hello, my name's Terry Angel. I pastor over at Faith Baptist Church just out in the neighborhood, passing out some literature. I'd like to give you a gospel tract and invite you over to the services. Have you lived here long? Talk. Well, listen, would you have any time to come visit our church? Well, Pastor, let me tell you what. I used to go to church. And then it's some story about a life change. And what follows is anger and bitterness, or they struck out on an alternate plan that they devised that crashed and burned. Crashed and burned. Now listen very carefully. You know, life's plan, whether it's your job, you know, young people, whether you plan to be a young person and get to some kind of a college education, so meet this young lady, meet this young man, get married, have children, and maybe some of those plans have just been blown up. And there's no job, and there's no spouse, and there's no children. And then here's what I am afraid of, and I see sometimes, is we don't understand, but we don't boundary that not understanding with trust, and we try to start making our own plans, and we're not even anything interested in what God might have in store for us. And we start changing our convictions. We start dropping our standards, and we change our behavior. Because this is what I've got to do. This other thing hasn't worked out. My life's plans didn't come to fruition. So I've got to make this happen. I've got to make this. And brother, sister, when you make something happen in this case, you're going to make a big mistake. It's time to slow down. Hold off. I'll tell you what some of you need to do. Some of you, you made some decisions at age 12 and 13 and 15. You made some simple decisions that were not just simple. They were simple. They were simple, but they were not just simple. They were profound. You made some decisions about who you would marry, who you would date. Yes, sir. You made some decisions about how you would live your life at age 13 and 15, and you made those decisions full well expecting all these plans to come to fruition, and it hasn't happened. So now I'm going to go back and start changing something. No, what you need to do is go back and revisit those decisions that you made. They were made in innocence. They were made in simplicity. They were made in faith in God. God will honor those. Yes, sir. Those were not just emotional responses to some tear-jerking illustration. The Spirit of God worked on your heart to help you form a conviction that would mold you in life, full well knowing that life's plans would change for you. And that conviction was meant to save your neck. That conviction was meant to keep you from making a huge mistake. You're throwing them away. Don't abandon those. Revisit those. Reinforce those. And have a revival in your heart of trust in God and obedience to God. Isn't that kind of what one of the songs says that we sing in church every so often? Kind of goes something like, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. In the third verse, which most churches never sing, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. That guy was plugged in, brother. He's plugged in when he wrote that song. It's okay to not understand, but you got to trust God. And it's okay to start making alternate plans as long as when God says, that's not what I had in mind. This is what I got in mind. And we back away from our plans. It's what Joseph did. What, Lord? Oh, you don't want me to put her away? You want me to marry her? Okay. And how did it work out? Blessed. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When life's plans change, you cannot understand, and you can begin to make alternate plans, but you got to trust God and obey. Amen. Very simple. Not a Christmas message, but a message from the Christmas story. Let's stand, please. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to have this service on the Sunday before Christmas. Several of the folks are out of town traveling. Please give them journeying mercies. But Lord, the people who are here tonight are the ones that you wanted to hear this message. You wanted me to hear it. You wanted them to hear it. And so, Lord, we as a group, we as a body, give ourselves to you now. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to listen and heed this truth. And when life's plans change for us in some unexplainable way, that we do not understand, God, help us to trust you. And when you reveal the new plan, help us to obey. And in the meantime, God, I pray that some will revisit their vows, their promises, their surrender to you. Relive those vows and promises in their hearts. And Lord, keep people from making big mistakes, please. It would have been a huge thing if Joseph had put Mary away. It would have been huge. So, Lord, thank you for the story. Thank you for Joseph and Mary and their trust and obedience. Help us to follow suit, I pray in Jesus' name.